as
God
intended.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Looking for Healing radio show. I am your host, Dr. Brian Artis. We hope you had a great week so far. It's been a great week for me. It's been a very busy week. This Healing radio show is a place where we come to celebrate not pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are not medicine. Love always is. So I, as the host, along with Dr. Janice Schmidt, Nicola Burnett, Dr. Ely is going to be busy and off doing some grand jury stuff, which is great. Just remember, this show happens Monday through Friday. Tell all your freedom friends they can join us live on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network and via recorded podcast at AmericaOutloud.com. Also on the iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora networks. Just download the America Out Loud phone app for Apple, Android, or Alexa, whatever you need to listen at your leisure. Looking for Healing Radio is sponsored by GlobalHealing.com, simply the finest, most potent, most effective natural medicines in the world today. Feel the difference integrity and love for medicine making can make for you. Go to GlobalHealing.com and enter promo code OUTLOUD to discover the medicine God intended for us all. Get incredible deals and find Global Healing and all of the wonderful AOL sponsors at AmericaOutloud.shop. And we're going to have a fun show today. I'm excited because as it stands right now, this is starting with just Dr. Artis and Dr. Janice Schmidt, one of my favorite people on the whole planet. So excited to be able to spend time with her tonight. Life just gets busy, and so the host had other things to do, and that's all right. We're committed to you, and we will go through questions here also. All right, so first, Dr. Janice Schmidt, tell us about your show this week.
Okay, well, the show this week is about what can your face and tongue tell you about your health? So I'm all about empowering people with ways to get well and know when there's something wrong. And I'm kind of just leaning still into that whole Mama Bear series. There's just so much to learn. And so this is a really easy way to help, you know if your kiddos are feeling well or even yourself, right? So face mapping is just an ancient practice that can talk about, you can show signs of what's in, you know, inner going on and whether there's one side of your face is drooping or the color. But I really lean into a lot about the tongue because it's a really cool indicator of clues what's going on in the body, like the color. It can be linked to different organs, like the tip of the tongue is connected to the heart. So if there's like a bunch of red dots on the end of the tongue, I'm like, whoa, what's going on with the heart there? Let's look into that. And things like creases down the center is, well, the center is in conjunction to the digestive system. Are you absorbing your nutrients? So, and one really cool thing about this is when you identify something wrong, you can then monitor your own healing. You know, once you know what a healthy tongue looks like, you can see yourself get better and better as you, you know, use the things that you know are good for you. So I talk about what those look like, what they could be, and then some really easy solutions to help, you know, balance the body, help the digestion, all that good stuff. So yeah, that's what I talked about.
That's awesome. What about a white coated tongue?
Well, that could mean some kind of stagnation or perhaps that you're not digesting food well, a candida overgrowth perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. Candida is a big one for that. What about, you ever seen somebody stick out their tongue and you can see the indented teeth marks on the edges of their tongue?
Yeah, that's a couple different things. That could be they're stressed and they're biting their tongue, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be poor absorption or perhaps sugar issues. So yeah, there's a lot of things, and we talk about that in the show too.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's tons of things you can learn from the tongue. As I was certified in acupuncture, we had to learn about tongue diagnosis, earlobe diagnosis, iridology. So number one thing for, I remember, never will forget, right? Mayo Clinic even published about 10 years ago that the number one most consistent way in which you can diagnose someone with heart disease is not from an EKG, an ECG. It isn't from an MRI. It isn't from a CAT scan. It's not from a blood test. Mayo Clinic published about 10 years ago, the most accurate sign that someone has heart disease is a crease in the individual's earlobe. That is by far the number one most accurate thing. So, isn't that amazing? So the body physically demonstrates we have a problem internally, and now you see it. I mean, one way in which I think the easiest for people to recognize are skin issues, right? Eczema, psoriasis. There's definitely something wrong inside the body.
Absolutely. And where it shows up on the body also has something to do with where it is internally in the body, right? You know, mm-hmm. it's on your nose, your forehead, chest, whatever. Yeah.
Dr. Schmidt, you seem to know more things than any medical doctor I've ever met. So do you run out of things you know? I mean, do you run out of topics of health in these radio shows? And you're like, man, what in the world can I talk about today?
No, I never run out of things to share. There's so much to learn. I never stop learning. So there's never going to be a shortage of things to share.
All right. So I want you to give me, just because we have the time tonight, it's just you and me, I want you to give me an example of somebody that came to you and had a weird tongue. And you fixed it and figured out what it was and then helped them. Give me an example.
All right. So this person's not sleeping well, and having terrible bowel issues. That's not regular at all. And so we talked and talked. And so there's lots of clues. I don't just use the tongue, but in the course of it, I'm like, can I look at your tongue? And down the center of the tongue looked like deep, deep crack. And it looked like branches going all off that deep crack in the middle. So we talked about what they were eating, and they were eating a lot of processed food, but eating a lot of dairy as well. And there were some other telltale signs like rashes behind the arms, and just a lot of other things that told me there was a lot of stagnation, and was a white coated tongue too. So I explained to them all the things I saw and what I thought would help them get better. So they reduced dairy greatly. And anytime they did have dairy, they took a digestive enzyme with lactase in it, so it could actually digest some of that, and reduced animal protein to about 10 to 12%, ate lots of fresh greens, and they did some really gentle cleanses. So it's super easy. I like to like start really gentle so people actually do it, right? And something that they can do in their lifestyle. So I told them to watch their tongue and take a picture each day and watch to see what happened. And also make a mental note, or if they wanted to write it down, their bowels as well. And then they came in and they were talking about it like, oh my goodness, I'm sleeping so much better. All those other little things that connected to the digestive system were better. They slept better. Bowels were better. And they did take the digestive enzyme and eat, you know, think probiotic foods and things like that, and stuck that tongue out. And it looked really good. It looked super smooth, tiny little crease down the middle, but that was only after 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks. And
that's
then
awesome.
2 weeks again, and then they send me a picture and like, oh, I feel so good. And my tongue looks good. And so then they can know, oh, I don't feel good. And they can look at their tongue like, oh, it's my digestion. I need to take a probiotic or stop putting my cell phone on my tummy and destroying the good bacteria, things like that. So
would you encourage, that's a great story. Would you encourage people that are in the audiences right now to actually download a tongue map and go to a mirror and look in their tongue and start learning how they can self-diagnose things that are going on?
Yes.
Is there any reference you would have for them that you would recommend? We're empowering people here, so you don't have to go to your MD anymore.
Perhaps let me see if I can tell you which map I use. Hang on just a minute. There's several really good ones.
We're going to make sure this is available to our Healing for the Ages group. And everybody, we're going to make this one of the resources. We want iridology chart. We want tongue charts. These are ways you can actually
want it all. Yeah,
diagnose yourself.
You know what? I will make sure it's in the notes with the article that goes along when it goes to podcast, when the show goes. Podcast. I'll put in the link.
I will upload the video. You do the little write up and submit that to the folder. You're gonna do that?
Yeah.
All right, that'll be great. Rock and roll. All right. Anything else you want to say about tongues from your episode?
No, I think they think that's it. If you didn't hear it, then you could go back and listen to it. And it's it's good. And it'll give you a little bit of empowerment. You can do things on your own and sometimes see things before they even get bad, right? You want to
Absolutely.
Catch things before they get bad. So how about your show? What did you do this week?
I actually talked about blood disorders. So March happens to be Blood Disorders Awareness Month per the CDC. So let's give you an example of a blood disorder. Anemia is considered a blood disorder. Blood clotting, platelet aggregation is considered a blood disorder. And then sickle cell anemia and others, these are all blood disorders. So I actually went into what are the most common drugs the pharmaceutical industry prescribes for every blood disorder. And then I took the audiences through exactly what side effects are published by those drugs and the drug makers. Because if you didn't know this already, Dr. Schmidt, every single one of those drugs published that they make every single blood disorder worse. So I wanted to make sure everybody knew that. I'm like, okay, well, you can let this go. All right. So then what I did is I spent the whole last segment of my radio show on Monday telling everybody what the natural antidotes to all blood disorders are. In fact, I actually took audiences through how to reverse all anemia, A-N-E-M-I-A, which means you have low iron in your blood, which is hugely popularly diagnosed by MDs all around the world.
And let me ask you a question. Yeah. Is it actually that they don't have iron?
No, they actually have plenty of iron. They have plenty of iron that is in the wrong place.
Yep.
So I showed Jana, for example, that there are studies they did in 4 to 6 weeks only where they were able to prove they could reverse anybody's anemia and raise their iron levels in their blood, and they never gave them iron. Do you know what they gave them?
Can I guess?
Yes.
Is it copper?
It is copper. And they gave small amounts of copper, and then all the iron levels went right up. So
I'm just going to do a little shout out to Morley Robbins on right at this
point.
Yeah, like he's the guy. He wrote this book. It's Cure, and then the CU has a little square around it for copper. I highly recommend this book. It's wonderful. Morley Robbins.
That's right. Cure Your Fatigue by Morley Robbins. We've all read it and have met with Morley many times. He's an incredible researcher and has done great work producing that book. So copper is definitely linked to chronic fatigue in two ways. Copper in the cells allows the mitochondria in your cells to make ATP for energy for your cells. That's what the body requires to give the cell energy of any cell in your body. Copper also forces iron out of your cells and back into the blood. And guess what iron does? Iron binds to your red blood cells. And guess what oxygen binds to in your lungs? To the blood. And then your red blood cells carry the oxygen to the rest of the body. You cannot have any energy without oxygen. You die, you pass out, you go unconscious. So copper supplementation, very small amounts is all it's required. And 0.9 milligrams is less than 1 milligram. And that's what's in the Global Healing's bioactive copper. It's a very small amount, and it actually completely reverses iron deficiency called anemia. So it's just an example. It was really, really cool to study and go through that with the audiences. But
that is good. I'm glad you shared that, because that's a very big misnomer. I hear people say, oh, I'm anemic, I'm a deficient in iron, wait, are you bleeding internally constantly? Are you completely malnourished and lived on an island for the last 6 months? Or are you just not using your iron? It's the most abundant mineral, right? I mean, it's everywhere. It's really hard to be deficient. So I'm so glad you shared that. That's such a big one. And I actually don't know what the other two did their show on this week.
Me either. So you're going to have to go watch it. Y'all are going to have to go watch it. I have no idea. I know Ely's busy with a grand jury thing this week. So he needs to be sinking all of his time and energy into that to try to protect as many humans in this country as possible from tyranny. So I'm really proud of what he's doing. Nicola, wherever you are, we love you. We miss you. And then actually the first segment I have to talk about this, I thought it was interesting. I went downstairs and my 18-year-old daughter, Sierra, was down there. Y'all met her at the Healing for the Ages conference. Sierra is standing there and I said, hey, Sierra, I want to go record a radio show. Do you want to go with me and do it? And she's like, really? I'm not prepared. And I said, well, let me ask you something. What are they talking about on social media? She likes social media, TikTok and all that stuff like these kids do. What are they talking about health-wise in social media? And she goes, nothing about health. And I said, oh, really? Do you not see the word Ozempic flying around social media? And she goes, oh my gosh, Dad, everybody's talking about it. And I said, like who? Not a joke. She goes, did you see Kylie Jenner was posting pictures this week about her figure after having a baby? She just posted pictures of herself on her Twitter feed or X, whatever that is, was posting the pictures just of her and her kid. And all the comments were millions of people stating in the comments, my daughter sitting there telling me in the kitchen, that all these comments are, oh my God, Kylie Jenner must be doing Ozempic. I want to do Ozempic. I want to look like Kylie. But Kylie never said anything about doing Ozempic or being on Ozempic. All the people in the comments are all assured that she must be on it. And so they're all just having a communication chat with each other in the comment section of Kylie Jenner's post, but she's never actually said she's on it. And I found that very interesting. So I brought her up here to talk about Ozempic. thought that was fascinating. And the one thing I wanted to make sure that she read to the audiences, my daughter had no idea. My own daughter had no idea that Ozempic had Gila monster venom in it. And that's what it was from. So I pulled up the articles in the recording. I said, great, can we come up and talk about Ozempic? She didn't even know what we were going to talk about. I said, don't worry, you don't have to be prepped for this. I'm just going to ask you to read stuff on the monitor and on the screen as I pull up articles. So I pulled up the first article from Business Insider that states, its title is, we wouldn't have Ozempic without Gila monster venom. Oh, really? Okay. And then that's what it's made from. So I decided to pull up an article, Dr. Schmidt, from CNN, February 21st of this year. And CNN wrote an article titled, Colorado Man Dies After Being Bit by His Gila Monster Pet That He Has Illegally. He got bit by a Gila monster, died 2 days later in a hospital. Now, I pulled up the article and my Sierra's mouth drops and she looks at me and I said, all right, I want you to read the statement directly out of the article. CNN yes. decided to contact the Smithsonian Institute and ask them, how toxic is Gila monster lizard venom? Have you heard me say this yet, Dr. Jana?
I have.
All right.
Say it. It's so good.
So I had Sierra read it. Sierra reads it and she just couldn't even talk. And I said, no, you need to keep talking. It's a radio show. You got to keep talking. She's just like, no way. I said, no, read it. Read the statement. Spokesperson from Smithsonian Institute said Gila monster venom is as toxic as Western diamondback rattlesnake venom. And Sierra just dead mouth dropped and looks at me across the studio here. And she was like, oh, and people are injecting this inside their body. I said, yeah. Do you believe people are overweight and need to lose weight by injecting themselves with venom? And she's like, no, nobody should do this. Now, the truth is nobody should be injecting themselves or succumbing themselves to venom voluntarily. Oh, right. My goodness. Why would you do that? So, all right, we got to wrap up this segment. We're going to come back and we're going to answer some questions. Let's do some quick fire stuff like we try to do sometimes. But we've got plenty of time to do that here.
Sure.
All right. So let's wrap this up with what they typed for us to say at the end of these scripted segments. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. Remember, you can listen and learn from Dr. Brian Artis, Nicola Burnett, Dr. H, and Dr. Janice Schmidt every Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific. And go to our show page on AmericaOutloud.com to submit a health question we can all answer on Friday. On Looking for Healing Radio, we're always here for you. Stay tuned after the break. We're coming back. We'll be right back and more Looking for Healing Radio. We'll be answering your questions. So we look forward to doing that. It's going to be exciting. All right. We'll be right back.
Lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop. And it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion, and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing. Giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
All right, healers, welcome back. Looking for Healing Radio is also sponsored by the Energetic Health Institute, an amazing school for amazing students just like you. The best way to be free is to be healthy. Learn how at www.energetichealthinstitute.org. Holistic nutrition, fasting, detoxification, art of cellular healing, and so much more. Join the EHI family and let's make tomorrow amazing. Go to www.energetichealthinstitute.org and help support Dr. Ely, all of his research team, his students. What a great platform he's done and built. It's phenomenal. All right. We ready to get into some questions here? Should we do it?
Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. So the first one, I this is appropriate since we were just talking about Ozempic. Yeah. Okay. What is the detox? This is from Pam. She says, what is the detox protocol if you have taken Ozempic, Wegovy, or any of the semaglutide shots? I want to share with the hundreds of people I know that have used it for weight loss recently. Thank you in advance. Blessings to you all. Okay, Pam. Venom. I mean, Dr. Artis, isn't it? I mean, the same protocol you do for the snake venoms?
This is, I want to show you something, Dr. Jana. You probably haven't seen this book. Y'all haven't seen this yet. You'll see it at the Healing for the Ages conference for sure. But this book is called Venoms. Do you see it? Venoms. Uh-huh.
Yes.
This book is written in 1966. It cost me $200 to get this thing that ain't printed no more. The very first chapter in 1966 is about Gila monster venom. Imagine that, 1966. That's 60 years ago. They're researching everything about venom. Inside this book, they have listed antidotes. They have listed receptors that it binds to, all that good stuff. I'm going to go through this. I just got it. I'm so excited to dive into this and give it to you. However, in the meantime, I'm just going to tell you, for sure, nicotine patches, 3 milligram nicotine patches, you got better jump on them. EDTA, I would use one dropperful 3 to 5 times a week, first thing in the morning. And then also the foreign protein cleanse. Each of those things, copper and gold that are in them, bind to all venoms. Licorice root, the cinnamon cassia help to change the structure of the venom protein so your body can detox them out of the body. This is just a great collection. Turmeric will help you detox it out of the liver to get it into the bowels so you to poop it all out and get it off your vagal nerves. So, and just for all of the audiences here, let's keep this at top of mind for next Friday or the following Friday, because I've been asked by my team, being bombarded by emails about Ozempic and detoxing it, they want me to do a whole presentation on it. So I'm going to dive into all the literature on GLP-1 drugs. But I do want to give a warning to everybody just on top of this. Do you know who Dr. Robert Young is, Dr. Schmidt? That's okay if you don't. Dr. Robert Young is in California. Dr. Robert Young just told me yesterday he's not allowed to leave California. That guy's been arrested 5 times since 1997 for curing people of cancer in California. So Robert Young wrote also a book he's most well known for called The pH Miracle. He wrote book and has sold 10 million plus copies of that book worldwide. That's Robert Young. So Robert Young is on a call with me and Judy Mikovits yesterday, and he wanted to show us that there is a once a week injection coming out of Europe called Zepbound. And he showed a picture of it. And Judy goes, is that the same stuff as Ozempic? And I said, I've never even heard of Zepbound. Let me look it up. So I look it up. Sure enough, it is exactly the same drug as Ozempic and Wegovy, which is a GLP-1 receptor agonist for all those scientific nerds out there like me. It's all made from Gila monster venom. All right, this guy, Robert Young, does black field microscopy. He has a microscope from the 1800s that does 500,000 times magnification. And he put Zepbound, the injection that's identical to Ozempic, on a slide this last week and then filmed with a video what is in the shot. There were nanocircuits being built and self-assembling. He showed us the videos, and it's in the Zepbound shots. And I said, oh my God, Robert Young, you've got to take the Ozempic cartridge I have here and do the same thing. I bet it's in there. You know, they tried to get everybody with COVID-19 to inject themselves with this stuff. And when they didn't, they told a whole bunch of Americans who are overweight, we have a new Gila monster venom drug called Ozempic and Wegovy. Inject yourself with that once a week for life. And everybody is doing it. But they are using those technologies for you to voluntarily inject yourself with their bioweapons. So, And he showed us that. I couldn't believe it. It was incredible, actually, watching it self-assemble into a wiring network. It was incredible. So anyway, be warned. Tell all your loved ones, if Gila monster venom is not bad enough for you, how about nanotech and graphene oxide and nano circuits. How about that? That are going to make you a part of the Internet of Things. How about that? Very good. All right. So that's what you look forward to. And the Dr. Artist Show will be producing. I will be producing my own presentation here in the next couple of weeks. How to cure the problems with Ozempic.
Sounds good. Yeah. I think a lot of people are going to need it. All right.
There's millions.
Let's move on to the next one. Okay. This is Jessica. She says, hello. I love you all so much. Thank you for everything. Two questions. One, what can I do to help protect my fully unjabbed 18-month-old son from exposure to spike proteins, aka steak proteins, as well as the self-assembly nanotech that Dr. Anna discusses? He's around many external family members who are triple boosted, etc. Let's answer that one before we go on to her second question. There are lots of things you could do to protect your child that we talk about it all the time, the things that you can do to protect from these horrible venoms and filtering your water. And I feel like avoiding these things are the best, especially the things you ingest. But you can also topically protect children.
Very good.
For me, I feel like neem oil, NEEM, is one of the best ones for kiddos. Just mix it with some coconut oil, put it on their skin. There's food that they can eat, like sprouts, something with star anise, and even honey. I think at a year and a half, like that's your call, but I did it at a year and a half. My kids all had honey at a year and a half. So what do you think? What would you suggest for her?
A few things. So it's an 18-month-old. There's actually, I'm trying to think, what would my 18-month-old kids be eating at 18 months? Okay. First things, all venoms, all proteins, all viruses, all shed E. coli, all bacterium, they actually are negatively impacted by oxygen and by vitamin C, glutathione, NAC, and EDTA. I'm not really sure an 18-month-old needs the EDTA, but they might if they've been injected a lot with other vaccines, but I would probably not consider that one right now. However, the foreign protein cleanse, you could easily use this and put it on topically. It's microsomal technology. You can actually put it right on the skin and it absorbs right in the skin. You can just take a few drops of that and put it on the inner part of their thigh or in their armpit. It's a baby, you know, put it on there, let it soak in. You can do that once a day, a few drops of that, not a whole dropper full. You only need like 3 or 4 drops to put on there, but I love the neem oil and the coconut oil recommendation. I think that's brilliant, but you cannot substitute the benefits of vitamin C. So vitamin C with bacteria, it actually kills it. That's how they're shedding the venom proteins after the engineered bacteria have received the plasmids from the injections that they receive. So it is published that NAC, glutathione, and vitamin C and EDTA are all published to do those things. I will tell you one thing. There is a company called Numi, N-E-U-M-I, Numi. And they have a spritz version or spray version of a glutathione that you can just spritz all over the body. And the nanoparticle size of the glutathione is smaller than the cell, so it's easily absorbed. It is miraculous. And you could use that and just spritz it all over the body on an 18-month-old. Take him down to his diapers or his underwear and just spritz the whole body once a day with glutathione from Numi, N-E-U-M-I. You can do that.
That's great. I didn't know that. Right. I'm going to write that down.
We actually use it every single day.
We always learn all kinds of things. Okay, so let's get to her second question. So Jessica says, we plan on getting pregnant soon with our second child.
Woo-hoo, this is for you, exciting. Jana Schmidt.
What can I do while pregnant to protect myself from the same exposure? Same thing that you did for your little one. And you should be doing for yourself too. I'm not sure if I can continue the nicotine patches and EDTA chelations while pregnant. This is correct. You don't want to do that while you're pregnant, but the bee pollen is going to help you. That is amazing while you're pregnant. It's just incredible nutrition. It's going to help you fight off harmful pathogens. The neem oil will be great. And it says, she also says, wondering what options I'll have when I'm pregnant, especially when I travel, I won't have access to my reverse osmosis water at home. And have you seen others do hydrogen peroxide therapy or methylene blue, et cetera, while pregnant? Thank you so much. Love you all. Okay. Well, if you heard us last week, we definitely have feelings about methylene blue. And I was just like, I don't really know about it. It's not natural. I'm not diving there. But now after really talking and diving in with your guidance, like there's no way. Like, so I would say absolutely stay away from that. Stick to the naturals. And You can get a gravity-fed filter that you can travel with you. I know, no, I'm trying to think of who makes those. I know Berkey, I don't know if Berkey's back in business again, but they had a small travel gravity-fed filter. Do you know if Alexa Pure has a small one?
I actually don't know. It's a great question. But you can look up Alexa Pure and Berkey and find out if they have any, if they do have any of the handheld ones. They're not manufacturing any products now, except for those that have already been made,
Oh yeah.
packaged since May of last year. So they still have some stuff to sell, but.
I know Zero Water does a pretty good job too. They have pitchers and it's a gravity fed, and all the water we've tested with that's been pretty good too. So
That's awesome. Also about, I want to address this, the nicotine question with pregnant people. People ask me this all the time, and I always go
well,
like this.
it's okay,
I always go
but
like this. That's a great question, actually. I would be worried and want to ask the question too. Can I use nicotine patches or have nicotine products while pregnant? You want my answer always is? This is my answer. Has your OBGYN ever told you or your midwife ever told you that you can't eat vegetables while pregnant? Or do you have to avoid veggies? You can't eat bell peppers. You can't eat cauliflower. You can't eat celery. You can't eat
eggplant,
eggplant or zucchinis or
peppers.
white potatoes. Just so y'all know. I've seen Chick-fil-A lines filled with pregnant women, and they're all eating white potatoes with their meals and their chicken sandwiches. And every one of those potatoes has nicotine in it. So nicotine in general is safe for pregnant women. The dose in the patches is probably higher than you might want to use, but nicotine is a nutrient. It's in your veggies. And unless your OBGYN tells you for some reason, newborns and embryos and fetuses in the womb cannot benefit from eating eggplants, celery, cauliflower, or tomatoes. Are all of you eating tomatoes while you're pregnant? You're swallowing nicotine. It doesn't hurt
Yes.
your baby. So anyway, that's all I say. Well, is it illegal
Great.
for you to eat veggies while you're pregnant? No, I can eat veggies. Okay, well then you can have
Then
nicotine.
you should be
Be
okay. Yes. And I so
small
it's
amounts,
good to
people.
know that it's a naturally occurring substance in food. The only thing I just don't want it to interfere with any hormones. So I think adding it while you're eating all those things, like you might be getting too much. So that's why I kind of like
Oh no, I
step.
just tell people that's a great point, Dr. Schmidt. I always tell people, well, if you're going to get nicotine and want to do it, I would do it from veggies. Like, just go do that while
Eat
you're pregnant. Go eat it, and then you'll be fine. You're never going to eat 100 eggplants to get a
it.
toxic dose of nicotine. You're going to be just fine.
There's
Very
your
good. All
point.
right. What's the next question?
Okay, next. Jane, her name is Jane. Question: my daughter suffers terribly with menstrual cramps every month and has to resort to painkillers to get through the first couple of days. She's tried red raspberry leaf tea, that was what I was going to say, and magnesium. That was also what I was thinking, but they don't give her enough relief. Can you suggest anything else? Also, I have a quick question for Dr. Schmidt. Does putting honey in tea negate some of the beneficial properties of the honey? So what do you think for her and the menstrual cramps?
Very first thing I would do is scolopendrium, actually. Scolopendrium is a homeopathic, and there's a company out of Germany called Marke Farm. Anybody on earth, including my ex-wife, who was told she had such bad PCOS, she would never be able to bear children from the time she was 11 till she was 25. I told her,
Oh.
I said, just so you know, you're going to have kids. I want kids, and I'm going to have kids. So you don't have to worry about that. But she actually was, had conversations with me about, you don't want to date me or marry me in the future because I can't have kids. And I'm like, yes, you can. No, I have PCOS. It doesn't matter. Well, we had 4 kids in 4 years. We had five and I don't even know, 13 years or whatever. So just because they tell you can't have kids doesn't mean you can't. The trick was, all we did was use a homeopathic called scolopendrium. I have teenage daughters, an adult daughter who have actually had multiple menstrual cramping issues and bleeding. And all I ever do is tell them to just take small amounts of scolopendrium every day of the month and they won't have any more. And they all disappear. It's miraculous. In fact, my housekeeper, I didn't even know this, my housekeeper has been struggling with horrible bedridden cramps and bleeding every period of her life. She is my age. So since she turned a teenager, she's had this. She asked me one day in passing, is there anything you do for people with this? And I said, I didn't even know you dealt with this. You just need to go to my old office and get this liquid called scolopendrium and just take 30 drops in the morning every single day. And overnight, Dr. Schmidt, within the first month, She has never been back in bed. And that was like a year and a half ago. She hasn't been back in bed. She actually is able to work every single day and feels great, but has never been debilitated again. Scolopendrium, you can also get homeopathic versions. Scolopendrium, you get little tablets. The liquid is what I give to patients all around the world. But you can actually call my old office. If you can, it's usually sold through clinics, but they ship worldwide. You can contact my old office at 214-705-9369. Tell them you want scolopendrium. I would do, if you have excessive bleeding or cramping, 30 drops in the morning, 30 drops in the evening, every day in water, and drink it every day. And you're going to see in the first month, all of your symptoms are improving. By the second or third month, they should all be all gone. I would just continue that every day. It's a great detoxing tool for the ovaries and the
Wonderful.
uterus.
Well, it's a fern. It's a pretty plant.
Absolutely.
Well,
Great
that's
question.
wonderful. I love that suggestion. And homeopathic is so gentle and very effective. We're not really sure why she's having this, but this will help whether we know why she's having that experience or not. I also love to say eat good fats and make sure you're digesting those fats because those are the building blocks for your hormones. And something's obviously a little off there. So, and as far as the honey question, if you get it really hot, it will destroy some of the nutrients and the enzymes in it. But if it's warm, it's just fine.
That's awesome.
Okay. So let's see
Still,
what.
my favorite question at Healing for the Ages
Which.
was, Dr. Schmidt, if I buy bee pollen from you and it's in an airplane or in a truck, does it need to be refrigerated? Do you remember this? Does bee pollen have
No.
to be refrigerated? And you did this really sweet answer. And then I started laughing. I was like, hold on, I just have to say something. We human beings make things so complex. Bee pollen has never been refrigerated in its history. It's in beehives out in the sun in a
Yeah.
box, 1,000 degrees, and that
Little
doesn't
bees
ruin it.
don't have refrigerators. They're
Bees don't
okay.
have refrigerators. It was just really funny. I was like, hold up. Have you ever thought before you asked the question if beehives are refrigerated? Because that's where we gather up the bee pollen. That's pretty funny. Anyway,
How are we doing on time? Can we do another one?
we've got 1.5 minutes. Let's do it.
Oh, okay. Vicky says, do cigarettes and vapes actually damage lungs, or is this another lie told by the media? I will never forget how they destroyed Juul back in 2019, just in time for pandemic, so less people will use nicotine. Good question, Vicky. I don't know a lot about these, but I do know there's terrible ingredients in that they add to cigarettes that make them addictive and then can cause carcinogenic effects. And same with vaping. But I know that you know a lot about this, Dr.
I
Artis.
do.
So, and from a fertility point of view, I know that vaping can lead to reduced sperm count and decreased ovarian reserve, so and cause inflammation in the uterus and make it difficult for implantation to occur. So from a fertility point, I know, but you share with us what you can tell her about her lungs.
All right, so from my standpoint, I don't like breathing in anything that's not oxygen and air into my lungs. So I just find that unnatural, and nobody should do it. I don't care how natural the substance is. However, organic tobacco leaf and cigarette products like American Spirits, these actually don't have any chemicals added to them, and they're not toxic or deadly like all the other ones that have pyrazines added to them. The FDA has actually approved 600 chemicals to be added to every tobacco product, period. So that is why I don't trust cigarette tobacco products. Pyrazines are added to vaping products, so this is not a joke. I'll spend a few seconds here. A group of people wanted to host an event in California in April coming up. And the person organizing it said, we want to do 800 people just for you. They just want to have me come in and do a presentation for like 4 hours. I said, okay. They said, what if we can get corporate sponsors for your event? And I said, that's fine. And then the person said, we have a vaping company CEO I'm very close to. They would actually sponsor the whole thing and pay for the whole thing. I said, okay, that'd be fine. You just have to ask them one question. She goes, okay, what's that? And I said, you have to ask the CEO, are pyrazines added to your vaping product? And if they are, they're not sponsoring my event. If they're free of pyrazines, I'm okay with that, but I'm not going to promote people vaping and smoking. But the vaping product itself, if it doesn't have pyrazines and it's really just a diluted form of nicotine, Oh my God. This is why they went after that first. The Juul vaping products, they add more nicotine to those than they do to regular cigarettes. So the benefit would have been to the vaping people even more than the cigarettes. So this is why they had to go after them and ban them and try to attempt to do that. In fact, if y'all didn't notice, within 1 month of my Watch the Water documentary coming out, Australia banned all Juul sales, period. All of them. No vaping products whatsoever.
I did not know that. That is crazy.
And then Canada did it the very next week. So this is them attacking that stuff. All right. We're at a commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages with more Looking for Healing Radio with the incredible Dr. Schmidt and the weird conspiracy. All right, young lady.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
All right, welcome back to Looking for Healing Radio. This segment's being brought to you by JanasAllNatural.com. You want to know why? Because she's not all sold out, so go buy all of her stuff. All right, Dr. Jana Schmidt, give them one thing at JanasAllNaturals.com that you would like to say is the promotional piece for this episode, this piece of this episode.
Well, the crowning jewel is always bee pollen. I can't say enough about it. It's just great. It has all the vitamins and minerals known for human nutrition, and it helps cell renewal. It just helps you feel great. And yeah, bee pollen, that's my favorite. It's got multivitamin.
That's awesome. How many days a week do you recommend people consume bee pollen?
I like it every single day.
Every single day. We need nutrients every day, Jana.
We need nutrients every day. The world is rough out there. We gotta have all the things we need to take it on.
How are your bees doing, Dr. Schmidt?
They're doing really good. We once we painted them with the shungite powder paint, they did much better and put the copper tops on all of them. They're doing great.
That is really phenomenal. I love the way you look.
There started to be some hive collapse. Hive collapse is normal, but before that it was too often. So they're doing much better now.
That's awesome. Dr. Jana, talk about the videos you sent us the other day or shared with us the other day about those people in Australia, the governments there destroying all the beehives, claiming there's some infection inside the hives, even though it's not present in those hives. But if they're in zones close to it, they're just wiping them out and destroying them. That sucks.
I can hardly talk about it. It's awful. So there's a mite that is naturally occurring in our environment, and they're drawn to the hive, and they eat the honey, and they're like a burden. It's a pest to the bees, and generally a strong hive can take them on, and that's fine. A weaker hive might be overcome by this beetle, but this is natural. Oh, it's actually a mite, not a beetle, Verona mite. And we have them here. Unfortunately, in our country, they, if you ask the extension office, in your county, what should I do about this mite? They'll tell you, permethrin, I think it's called. So it's a insecticide. It's going to hurt the bees too, by the way, but they tell you to put it inside and put medications and douse them. But honestly, if you just strengthen your hive, make sure the clean water, good source of things to pollinate on, they're going to be great. But in Australia, the beekeepers don't even have a choice. They're being told if there's any mites, they're burning all of the hives. If one hive out of 100 at a beekeeper's farm has mites, they burn all 100. So this one lady and her husband said, that's it. We're going to check all of our hives. We're going to make sure they're all clean. If something's wrong, like before they even get here, we're going to make sure there's none. And sadly, you have to kill a lot of bees just to test if they have mites. You have to put them in this jar and fill this with, you know, this horrible liquid. And, you know, then the mites would separate off the bee and kills them both. So they did this. They sampled every one of their hives. Not a single mite. They were so happy, like, this is great. And they documented it all. And when the people came, like, oh, we're, you know, with torches and they're ready, they're like, no, no, we don't have any mites. Look, look. And they showed, they said, test them if you want. They burned them anyway. These people were in tears. This is their livelihood. It's been their families for generations. And they torched their whole farm. So they all know this is government control. It's not legal, it's not ethical, it's not right, and it's for nefarious reasons. They're trying to control the farmers, they're trying to control the food, and the government wants that control. So that was what I shared, and I'm trying to remember where somebody shared it with me, somebody from Australia, but if you look it up and look at burning of beehives and farms, I'm sure you'll find it. So anyway, that was very sad, and I'm glad we're not to that point, and I hope we don't get that to that point, but I'm feeling for the people in Australia right now.
Yeah, me too. All right. So Dr. Jana Schmidt, we actually will answer some questions here in this segment, okay. But I think it's important that I share with you an article that I read last week.
Okay.
And I think it would be great if you actually read it live on this platform. And I think this would be a eye-opening for you as it was for me. I was shocked, but okay. I would like you to read the whole article. It's only like 6 minutes. We have 12 minutes left, and then we can answer questions after that. Okay. But I would like to have some discussion about your thoughts about this. All right. Okay. So I'm going to put it up on the screen, the article, and I want you to read it.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go.
I never know what you're going to share with me.
All right. Okay. You're going to read this article here.
Okay. Orthorexia, an eating disorder that few people understand and many accidentally applaud.
Okay. Hold up. I want to ask you, do you know what orthorexia is?
I don't, but, you know, we could probably guess.
All right. So I had no idea what this was. I read it last week. This actually was published on Friday, March 1st of this year. So just a couple of days ago. All right. So I want you to read out loud the article. Okay. Start at the top. There we go.
Okay. CNN. Jason Wood was sitting in a restaurant on vacation with his husband. Okay. Yep. Angry and upset because he couldn't swap pita for fresh vegetables on his hummus plate. Okay. The pain wasn't overblown, Wood said, but was 20 years of an eating disorder and anxiety and stress that comes with accumulating into one moment, he said. Wood has orthorexia, an eating disorder that isn't the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders, also called DSM, which is the formal guide of clinical assessment of mental health conditions. So this is a mental health condition, okay. But clinicians are seeing a rise of orthorexia among patients, said therapist Jennifer Rowland, founder of Eating Disorder Center in Rockville, Maryland. My hope is that it will be added to the DSM, but unfortunately it just seems to be very slow process in getting something in there, Rowland said. Okay. Orthorexia is a fixation on eating clean as defined by set rules of dependent on certain individuals in the context in which they live, said Jennifer. I have heard this, by the way. I just didn't remember. An eating disorder physician. This is an eating disorder physician that's saying this and founder of medical director at the Galdini Clinic in Denver. A November 2023 study found that 3 out of 10 participants showed signs of orthorexia. Often this disorder goes unnoticed or underestimated because it's hyper-focused on healthy eating, said Wood, director of community engagement at the National Association of Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders, also known as ANAD. The lack of understanding around this condition kept Wood's friend and family from raising concerns, sometimes applauding his efforts to stick with rigid eating principles even as he withdrew from friends and lost so much weight he couldn't keep himself warm, they said. Here's what you need to know about orthorexia. Diet, culture in disguise. Focusing on eating healthy sounds like a good thing, right? Not always, according to them. Eating disorders have...
Hold up. This is a trip. I cannot wait to go through this with you. Focusing eating healthy sounds like a good thing, right? Not
and
always.
They say not always, right?
Okay.
Eating disorders often have similar underpinnings, a genetic predisposition combined with environmental factors, Rollin said. I'm just calling BS real quick. BS. And often the disorder centers around a set of rigid rules, whether it be calories, timing of eating, or ingredients in food, she added. When those vulnerables to eating disorders latch on to only eating in the way they consider healthy, the behavior can go from preference to an obsession, Rollins said. Over the years, Wood said his list of unhealthy foods grew, and those considered healthy kept shrinking until he found himself leaving parties because he couldn't find anything he would allow him to eat. Ugh. And then left with him a lot of anxiety, he said. Right, okay, I get it. For some, but not all, people with orthorexia, their body image may start to hinge on how closely they follow their food rules, Rollins said. And with similar underpinnings behind them, orthorexia can morph into other disorders such as bulimia, anorexia, nervosa, she said. The motivations people with orthorexia may have, as well as the applause society gives them, might be labeled as health promotion or disease prevention, but they
hold up. Disease prevention is what they're calling healthy. It's disguised by society's applause.
This is now a problem, but they often are proxies for pure old fashioned diet culture, which prioritizes one ideal body shape and size. Galdini said, yeah, I'm, this is definitely in quotes. Some elements of it can be like a diet culture in disguise, Rollins said. And even if there's shame around... Even if there isn't shame around the weight behind it, orthorexia and the steps a person takes to adhere to certain food rules can be expensive, distracting, and distressing, Galdini says. It can also limit one from what one's sort of greater goals and values are. That's a poorly written sentence. okay. What is healthy anyway? Oh, all right. Buckle up. All right. Another sign that rules around eating or not just about health is difficulty with defining what healthy even is. In the 1990s, healthy, clean eating would be low-fat diets, Galdini said. But now people are more likely to consider high protein, high fat, low carb, low sugar foods as healthy, she added. Others would prioritize the food sourcing, such as whether it's organic, non-genetically modified, and local.
Hold up. We got to go over that sentence again. Okay. Others considered this prioritizing of foods sourcing, such as whether it's organic and not genetically modified and local, as an issue or a fad. I find that funny. Okay, keep going.
Great. Yeah. Why wouldn't you prioritize that every single day of your life? Of course, it's not bad to want to eat a salad, Rollins said, but the problem arises when you think you can only have a salad. Everybody is unique. And so the healthiest choice of food at any given moment will depend on the individual's needs and the context that person is in, she added. Unless you need to eat a certain way for a medical condition, often the best course of action is listening to your body. Oh, sometimes if you listen to your, I'm going off script here. If you listen to your body and it's the candida telling you to eat the donuts, right?
Or maybe the sugar's addictive and it's telling you to go after the addiction that you're on. Yeah,
When thinking of health, it's important you don't only think of nutrition.
What else are you supposed to think about?
Yeah. Oh, that's a confusing sentence. Okay. A healthy life includes rich social relationships, time spending pursuing passions, enjoyable physical activity, and enough brain space to find peace, all of which are hard to come by when you spend hours of day ruminating on what you should be eating. If you are somebody who wants to live a reasonably balanced, social, connected life, orthorexia rules can really isolate you from peers because you end up turning down opportunities to eat with other humans because they don't follow your same rules, Galdini says. Therefore, you say no, and your social world can really collapse down and become quite small.
Well, I remember a whole bunch of people coming to our conference, hundreds of them, and they don't all eat primarily organic, and we gave them all organic food and they loved it. And they weren't restricted.
And then it goes on just to talk about life and recovery. And
people with orthorexia, they say, may find themselves with a team that includes therapists, dietitians. Okay. So what they're trying to convince people of, I mean, can you believe this? They're trying to convince you there is a mental food health disorder called orthorexia, where people are now focusing on eating healthier, but that's actually a mental illness that needs to be in the DSM, the how you diagnose mental conditions by a psychiatrist. This is what they're trying to tell you. Just so you know, Dr. Janice Schmidt, you, me, Dr. Group, and Dr. Ely would be considered orthorexics.
Yeah, because we don't want to eat crap.
Because we don't want to eat crap. Isn't this crazy?
You know, and none of that, I mean, none of that stops us from having fun and having a good time. I actually, the reason why I said I didn't know that is because I had a bad experience where on an interview where someone used that word, and I was really mad because they were trying to tell me I had this. So I didn't know this is not scripted.
I didn't even know this was going
to
come up.
No, they tried to tell me I had this. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, okay. So they were interviewing me and you may know this person. They were not invited back, by the way, to the Reawaken. But they asked me, sweet lady, but my gosh, she wanted to find a problem. She wanted to me to be encouraging to someone through a problem that happened in my life. Well, we all have issues and problems, but she was kept trying to find some deeper issue. I would say something. She goes, oh, was that such and such? I'm like, no, that was just, whatever. And when I said something about the way I was raised on the hippie commune, we had so much food that we grew and it was so good and it was so good for you. And that's the taste I wanted. It was really lovely. And when I went elsewhere, like to friends' houses, and they had Fruit Loops or something, I didn't like it and I didn't want to eat it. So I actually sometimes just no, thank you, or just go grab an apple or something. It was what my body was used to eating, all this fresh, healthy stuff. So I said, so as I was raising my family, I encouraged all this great, healthy food because I knew it would help them grow as strong and smart and everything that God wanted them to be, as close as I could feed them to God. But I didn't have a problem. My kids wanted to go have a piece of pizza with their friends. I might nudge them, say, hey, take that digestive enzyme so you don't feel like, ugh, the next morning. But, and she said, oh, so it became an obsession. I'm like, no. I mean, I was just like, it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to teach your family these things. And she said, so, but you wouldn't let them eat. I'm like, no, I would just tell them and then I'd give them the choice. She said, I think this is orthorexia. Where you are so fixated, they can't have. I'm like, no, I don't even get this. Nope. She just kept trying to push a diagnosis of something like that on me. And I kept saying, no, it's fun to live in the world and try new things.
I couldn't pass the opportunity up to share with you that article that CNN mainstream media is now trying to convince people with articles written this week that healthy eating is a mental illness. This is what they want to convince you of. Why would they want you? They don't want you eating healthy. You're not going to need drugs that the FDA gets sponsored bills, fines, fees for. So just let it go. Now we're down to our last few seconds. I thought this was important to share. This is why Looking for Healing Radio is so important. You have to know what they are up to. They want to convince you that healthy eating is a negative. There's something wrong with you and you need to be drugged for it. It needs to be in a psychiatric book for guidelines of mental illness.
Therapists and support groups to get over it. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. All right. So this is Looking for Healing Radio. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're aware of that. Don't be afraid to eat healthy. That's so weird. Remember, the only medicine is natural medicine, because natural medicine first does no harm. There's so much we have to unlearn, and I'm grateful to be able to unlearn it with you so we can learn something much better, something filled with love, logic, and light. You are a being of light, so remember that when you're looking for healing, it's always look within first. May God, the Almighty and author of all things, shine his divine light upon us, everyone we love, and surround us in the protection of his warm and healing embrace. I am Dr. Brian Artis. This is Dr. Janice Schmidt on behalf of Dr. Henry Ely and Nicola Burnett, who we admire and love and revere. We say we love you. We're grateful for you. And please tune in tomorrow for more Looking for Healing Radio.